All right. Well, that's Social Distortion, but they're just taking way too long to get into any kind of lyrics. So we'll probably get to some lyrics when we wrap it up, because that's, you know, we usually wrap it up with a little bit of music there too. In case you couldn't tell, this is Josh and Robert Lukowitz sitting over here at Fish and Frank's World Headquarters in downtown Metropolis, Port Charlotte. We are here on your behalf to do a fishing report for you, not for us. We'd probably do other things. What would you be doing if you weren't doing a fishing report?
Cleaning some filters and sorting dead shrimp.
Right. I would be going through snake cages and seeing who ate last night and who didn't. Maybe it's better that we're doing a fishing report.
Probably.
So, anyway, this report, of course, goes spot by spot, so we are going to go ahead and get started here. I should ask you how you're doing, shouldn't I? I mean, that's just...
You've already asked me like four different times.
Yeah, but not on the...
Give me four different answers.
Not on the radio, I didn't. I mean, it's just basic social construct to ask somebody how they're doing. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. That is fantastic. Okay, well, having got that out of the way, let's go ahead and get started with this place-by-place fishing report, which starts, of course, on the Peace River and makes its way out and down the harbor and out into the great wide open and then back up into the harbor and back all the way up. And it's, you know, lots of different places to fish, lots of different things going on. We got to get this thing started. I need to stop introing. Why do I keep introing?
Because you're just long-winded today.
Peace River.
Nothing.
Come on.
Nothing.
Nothing going on up there. Nothing at Harbor Heights Park. Nothing at Liverpool. Nothing at the Lettuce Lake Boat Ramp. Nothing at the water treatment
plant.
Couple
of snook. Nothing really crazy, though.
Okay. How about...
Been a little slow up there.
Do you think the rain is having an effect?
No, I don't think so.
Not yet?
Not at all. Okay. I mean, I'm sure some of the spill dams have been okay, but nothing special.
Yeah, I noticed we have a little bit more flow up there.
Yes.
But nothing crazy. Not yet.
No.
The land is thirsty. It's soaking it up.
Yeah.
All right.
Actually, Darst. I think most of it's washing off, but some of it's soaking up depending on the spots.
Darst Park Boat Ramp and the I-75 bridges.
Let's see. There's been some juvenile tarpon, a few snook, and a couple of redfish, mostly on the south side. Nothing special.
South side has a better bite, but it's still not great.
Correct.
Okay. Can you think of any reason why you might want to fish there?
No.
Okay. 41 Bridges Power Pole Park.
Let's see. There's been some cobia there. There's been some snook and tarpon at night. And a few sharks of assorted sizes.
What are we talking about? Bulls?
Bulls and a couple of actual black tips.
Okay. As opposed to bull sharks with black fin tips, which of course they all have when they're babies. The cobia, have any of them been keepers?
Yes. There has been some keepers.
Full of eggs?
Yes. Been a lot of pregnant ones. Been a whole lot of pregnant ones. Lots of eggs in them. You know, unfortunately.
Well, you know, that's just how it goes. We get a bumper crop, and then next year we have none, and we wonder why.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Lashley Pier.
Same thing. There's been some cobia there. There's been a few snook at night. Some guy supposedly got robbed there last night. I don't know if you saw that.
I did. If anybody would like to see some more information on that, that's on the Fish and Frank's Facebook page.
Yeah. A couple of gar. And actually a couple of trout. But it hasn't been gangbusters. Mostly the guys have been trying to fish for the cobia and catching a few small sharks too with that. but it's been a hodgepodge. Nothing great, but not as lousy as it has been.
Okay. The Bayshore Piers.
Bayshore Pier.
The Bayshore Pier.
Get it right.
Well,
you're the one that published
it. I know. I did. I apologize. I was just reading what it said.
No.
I should have known better. Thank God you were here to correct me.
Usually you're the one that corrects everybody else. I don't know. For me to get one on you once in a while, hey.
I don't know what I'd do without you,
Bob. Marking it on the calendar.
Yep.
Some cobia, a few shark, and a couple of tarpon have been hooked up there too while they've been fishing for cobia. But other than that, nothing else.
Well,
guy saw a couple snooks sitting under the dock, but I haven't heard of anyone actually catching one. No, it's Bayshore.
Right.
It's one or the other. It's either really lousy or okay. I don't know too many times it's ever been like, holy mackerel, incredible.
Well, it has its moments.
Mm-hmm.
They're just very brief.
Very.
Let's go into the Port Charlotte saltwater, brackish water canals, and associated area, such as the Port Charlotte Beach Pier.
Port Charlotte Beach Pier, same thing, cobia, a couple of small sharks, a few snook, and then up in the canals, been a lot of little snook, a couple of juvenile tarpon, and black drum.
Big black drum?
Pretty good size.
Little back black drum?
No, they're good size. They're all like 25 plus. Christina got one that was over 30. It bottomed out the boga grip, so.
Nice. How big was yours?
Nothing. I didn't try. I just watched. It was easier.
You just watched.
That's what I do.
Y'all make your own jokes. Elgin Pier and Boat Ramp.
Let's see. There's been a couple of cobia and sharks caught off the seawall underneath the bridge. There's been some tarpon there at night, a few snook, and an occasional drum there, but overall nothing really exceptional. Just been decent. But the night fishing is by far the best thing going if you want a, better quality fish. Or at least hook into one. Because they usually want to take you right into those bunks.
Oh, don't they?
Yes.
And they know exactly how to get there.
Yes, they do. But most people use too light a tackle fishing for that kind of stuff.
They really do. Heavier tackle, heavier drags. You got to fight that fish.
I'm like, yes, I know I'm not going to catch it. Usually a 40-inch snook, but around that structure and everything that's there, you pretty much need tarpon gear.
Pretty much.
That's the better thing anyway.
Well, if you want to catch the fish.
If you want to actually land them, yeah.
If you're satisfied with just hooking them and having a fish story about the one that got away, then feel free. Use whatever you want. Myakka River area.
Then it's a 50-inch snook.
Cut off Cattle Dock Point Tippy and the 14-foot hole.
There's been cobia and sharks scattered throughout that whole area with the occasional Spanish mackerel. And up in the Myakka Cutoff, there's been some snook. Most of them have been small, but they're thinning out of there. And nothing over at Cattle Dock. I haven't heard anything in that area for a while.
Okay.
I would imagine once the rain gets cranking, it might get a little better coming right there out of the locks. With fish wanting to leave, but we'll see.
The locks aren't part of this spot, Robert.
Aren't they?
They aren't. The locks are part of the next spot, which is the South Gulf Cove Canals, to include Butterford Ramp, South Gulf Cove Park, and the locks.
And Cattle Dock is not part of that?
Dude, I did not set this up. How many times I gotta tell you? I am dealing with a legacy setup here of what spots are what.
Perfect.
You've been doing this for years, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Don't blame me. I've been here for 2 months.
Okay. No, got nothing.
Do you want me to include the locks in the previous spot? Because I can add it up there.
Just stop. I'm good.
No Mayan cichlids?
Nope.
Nope.
I got just no report.
No report.
Nope. I know that all those are there, but why mention them if you haven't gotten at least a couple of reports on them?
Okay. And again, I will put in the number here and ask them to call if they have reports.
Yep. Good idea.
Okay. The west wall and the creeks.
Snook.
Lots of snook. A few snook.
A few snook. handful of redfish. And then on top of the bar, there's been a lot of bonnet heads, especially as you get further south. A couple of pompano, a handful of cobia, and on the outside of the bar, some Spanish mackerel scattered. Kind of a mixed gamut of stuff over there. You know, but the main thing is move a lot. Couple guys said they went over there and didn't catch anything after seeing the reports from a week ago or whatever, and I'm like, well, did you sit in one spot? Well, yeah, we sat right at the mouth of that tide marker creek. Okay. Did you ever move? No. Well, the west wall's a little bit bigger than that 40-foot spot.
Yes, it is. There is quite a bit of space there on the west wall, as I recall.
There is.
How about Cape Hayes and Muddy Bay?
Well, let's see. Spanish mackerel, bonnet head.
Good numbers.
Pretty good numbers. Bonnet head sharks, couple ladyfish. Guy got a bluefish there the other day. Then a handful of trout. And I got nothing up inside Muddy Bay. That's all right there around the whole vicinity of Cape Hayes.
Okay. How about Turtle Bay, Gallagher's Cut, and Bull Bay?
Oh, lots of trout.
So pretty small or
mixed barrage. Some bonnethead sharks, quite a few snook and redfish.
Up around the trees.
Yeah. And I really can't think of anything else that's been going on in there.
Water clarity still good in there?
Yeah. That's been pretty decent.
The open flat. Still eating shrimp, those bonnet heads?
Yeah. Yeah, a guy caught a couple of them on whitebait the other day.
Yeah, we're getting into that season.
Yeah. And they've been seeing some smaller sharks swimming in there, but the bonnets is the only thing I've heard about. Okay. Thank you. Not too bad.
No, it doesn't sound too bad at all.
Mm-mm.
All right, Cape Hayes Danger Reef.
Spanish mackerel. And a couple of cobia. Overall, nothing else.
Okay. Nothing on the bottom.
Nope.
But it says reef, Robert.
I know it does. But reefs attract other things, too.
I can't go catch grouper?
You probably could.
Stupid reef.
It'd probably be a baby grouper, but you could probably catch one.
A grouplet. Gasparilla Sound and the Tailing Flats.
Let's see. Quite a few trout, Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, unless you're Mike trying to catch them. And then there's also been a lot of snook and a few redfish up along the bushes there around Whidden Creek. It's not bad at all through there. And all the reports I've been getting from the Inglewood Fishing Club have all been guys going down to there, so.
All right,
when you get to two spots from now, you'll know that answer.
I'm going to ask it anyway.
I know you will.
It's tradition at this point.
I know.
Let's talk a little bit about these fish that are hanging out underneath the bushes. Are they hanging tight to them, or are they in the bushes area?
They're in the bushes area.
And if we're fishing for them, can we use cut bait, or do we have to use those magical live white bait?
The cut bait's working better on the redfish and better on the bigger snook, but the white bait's working just fine. If you want lots of numbers, white bait. You want just kind of a hodgepodge, yeah. I would rather go with the bigger fish, so I'd rather use cut bait. And then I would just blind cast with an artificial out into the open water and see what other species that might jump onto me.
Right, because yeah. There's all kinds of stuff out there.
Absolutely. You never know what you're going to get coming through that area.
No, you don't. And that's pretty much going to hold true no matter what area we're talking about, though.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. Now, do you still want to think about using shrimp as bait out here?
Absolutely.
Because I know a lot of people, once we start hearing, again, that magic word, white bait, they figure, well, shrimp are going to be no good for bait anymore. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the end of shrimp season because white bait showed up.
Right. And it's kind of true. I mean, white bait produces better in some instances, but for the most part, the instances that it's producing better, it's just numbers, not quality. You know, it's all about quantity rather than quality. And it, while it's fun, it's just not as enjoyable as catching something that's a little bit more worth showing pictures of.
Right. But, you know, it's important to remember that shrimp are a year-round food here.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, obviously there's a period in time when those fish are eating whitebait. That doesn't mean that's all they're eating. Doesn't mean that's all they're focused on.
Well, and so. It's not because it's job security for me to try to sell shrimp. It's just the plain old fact. The truth of the matter is that's, you know, it is. It's a year-round food source, and it always works.
Right. And, you know, if it came down to the truth about shrimp, you'd probably be happier if you didn't have to sell shrimp.
Yeah, I would.
Because then you wouldn't have to deal with shrimp. You wouldn't have to deal with the vagaries of our shrimp coming in or not. You wouldn't have to deal with peewee season. You wouldn't have to deal with people coming in and saying, hey, do you have jumbos today? Yeah, give me 2 dozen regulars.
Yes.
You know, all of that stuff would just go away along with the tank maintenance and all that other stuff. So
it would make it a lot easier, that's for darn sure.
Yep. So, yeah, anybody who thinks that you guys are all about selling the shrimp because that's where you make all of your money, you know.
Yes. That's a couple dimes here and a couple dimes there.
Yep, and that's literally. If the shrimp live.
Literally, yeah. No, it's kind of crazy.
All right, let's head out towards Placida, the pier, the trestle, the pass, and Coral Creek Pier.
Spanish mackerel scattered throughout that whole area. Some assorted sharks from 6 foot on down. There's been a couple of tarpon, a handful of tarpon hooked out there. Quite a few snook at night. And then there has been a couple of snapper and a couple pompano.
Okay.
A little bit of a frog in the throat.
Yep. I hear it.
Kind of interesting. But no, the fishing's been, I mean, that's definitely going to be your better action, I think, for the rest of the summer. And it'll go in little spurts, but that'll definitely be your better area. I need to get out there before the water starts to turn funky.
Right?
Yeah. It's been a while.
Too bad you don't know any charter captains.
Yeah.
You had any reports from Lemon Bay?
No.
Oh. No. Okay.
No. All the Inglewood fishing reports have been pretty much them going down to Placida and through that area or going offshore.
Okay.
That's pretty much the extent of it.
So that is 4 weeks in a row of no reports.
Mm-hmm.
Anything from the Anger Pier?
A few Spanish mackerel, a bonnet head, and it was a picture of a shark, but it was unidentifiable with how great the picture was. Wasn't a bonnet head, I know that much. That's absolutely as far as I could get with it.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not atypical.
No.
It's a sand shark, Robert.
Yeah. Well, that's what I told a guy the other day, just to be a smart aleck.
Not you, a smart aleck.
Yeah.
What? So out of character.
Yeah, way out of character, huh?
The Venice jetties and Sharky's Pier.
There's actually still some sheep's head being caught off those jetties up there. Not a lot, but they're better quality fish. Lots of Spanish mackerel, but in sporadic moments. And then there's also been a few tarpon off of there, and this is all at the jetties, mostly. And then over at Sharky's, it's been more Spanish mackerel, one cobia, a few bigger sharks, and the tarpon. Well, most of those are being cut on, you know, the tarpon, the sharks, and the cobia have all been on some kind of cut bait. And I guess there was a guy who either worked at or was somehow associated with another tackle shop north of there that caught one of those tarpon right there off the rock jetties.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, let's go out to the Gulf of Mexico, the bottom fishing and the trolling on the reefs and wrecks.
Well, let's see. They've been getting some AJs out there at about 30 miles. Some red grouper. Some bigger mangrove snapper and lane snapper. And then if you come back in just a little bit closer, like at that 15 to 20 mile mark, one guy did catch a legal amberjack out there at 20 miles, but then he also caught a cobia. He said there was a lot more Spanish, a lot more life around, and he trolled for a little bit and actually got one bonita. And then the nearer shore reefs, like within 5 miles, have been some sheep's head, a few smaller mangrove snapper, a couple of lanes, and two baby, what looked to me to be muttons.
Oh, like cool.
Babies. Distinctly different than the lanes that the guys were catching.
That sounds like fun.
It does. Good old times.
I'm surprised we haven't seen more baby red snapper.
Right? No, I think they get hit by the shrimpers, honestly.
Well, they do. But I'm still surprised we haven't seen some more babies, considering the number of adults that have been showing up out there.
Right. No, it's kind of surprising.
No permit out there?
No.
It's a bummer.
I'm sure they are, but I just haven't had any reports.
Right. All right, that brings us to the passes, and we start to the south all the way down to Punarasa.
Oh, let's see, some Spanish mackerel down there, and tarpon. And then there also has been a few sharks.
Are we talking about some bigger tarpon? Are we talking about little tarpon, medium tarpon, catchable tarpon, just seeing tarpon? What are we at?
Bigger tarpon. Not phenomenal numbers, but definitely fishable. And most of the guys down there are old school. They like to, even though they're younger guys, they're sticking with that old school catfish tails and doing fairly well. Which is really kind of neat. And it's just funny the drastic difference between 20 miles.
Catfish tails. Well, you know, the old Tarpon Hunters Club down there likes the catfish tails. Yeah. And they do a seminar every year where they talk about the catfish tails. So they kind of spread that word.
I know, but you would think it would be absorbed up here, but I guess it did take us 20 years to teach them about using a bobber.
Yeah.
So, not overly surprising.
It takes a while. It's all part of the local culture.
No, I think it's just typical males. They're just stubborn.
Yeah, it could be some of that, too.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of that.
Red
fall right there in that category, too.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Typical male. Stubborn. Sometimes a little dumb.
Mm-hmm. At least you can admit it.
Yeah.
So, you want to go tell me what's happening in Redfish Pass now?
That one I haven't had any reports on.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure that the same thing applies, but I have not gotten any reports.
It's very easy. I just type no reports.
There you go.
Super simple. How about Captiva?
Captiva have been Spanish mackerel, tarpon, some snook. What else? That's about it.
On your 1 to 10 scale, what do we got here? Is this a must fish? Is this awesome? Is this okay? Is it a 3 or is it a 5? Is it a 7?
I'd probably go with more like a 7.
A 7. Okay.
Yeah. It's better than middle of the road.
All right. And Boca Grande Pass.
As many tarpon as you want to look at.
Okay.
Then there has been quite a few Spanish mackerel coming through there. And then there's also been a lot of big sharks in there chasing those tarpon around. The surprising part is I haven't heard, I know they're there, but I haven't heard too much about the land-based shark fishermen out there. I know they've been there, but I haven't heard much this year the way normally do.
Are we seeing mostly bull sharks, or do we have hammers in there too?
There's been a few hammers around. Most of them are bulls, though. You know, and they've been good size, 6 to 8 footers.
Well, yeah, if you're going to eat a tarpon.
Yeah.
Now, are we actually catching any tarpon out there?
Yeah. Yeah, they've been catching tarpon in the past. It's mostly been an early morning bite or at dark. Middle of the day has been very inconsistent. And those fish are in the pass to way outside on the pan to up on the hill. It just depends. But the last couple of days, they've moved up onto the hill in the afternoon, and guys have done exceptionally well on them. Crabs, squirrel fish. One guy did put one in the air on a shrimp. But crabs and squirrel fish seem to be the main focus of food.
And are a lot of these tarpon getting sharked, or are a lot of them getting landed?
A lot of them are getting landed.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, the sharks seem to have kind of backed off a little bit, but they do that every now and then where they just, like, get full or whatever, but they all of a sudden just leave for a little bit.
They come in waves.
Mm-hmm.
Just when people are saying, oh, the sharks are terrible, every fish is getting eaten, suddenly, where'd the sharks go?
Yeah, I think they got full. Go off and digest for a couple days.
All right, taking us back into the harbor, Matlache Pass, Indian Field, Smokehouse Bay.
I haven't gotten anything there this week. The problem is tarpon season starts to ramp up, you start getting fewer reports of inshore fishing. Because for that first month or so, everyone is just interested in going out there and trying to find the tarpon.
Right.
But the best part about that is if you're going out there to find the inshore fish, there's a whole lot less pressure going on with them, and they tend to cooperate a little bit better.
Yeah, and the thing is, when I hear things like no fishing reports from an area where the fishing reports have been pretty good, and this is a good one. I mean, if you read back through the reports over the last 2 months, we've had pretty good reports from Matlache Pass. I mean, it hasn't been amazing, but it's been pretty good. When suddenly it gets to the point where you have no reports that week, that's when I want to go fish it.
Right.
You know, when I have lots of reports from an area, I don't like fishing in crowds. I don't like fishing where there's going to be a bunch of people guaranteed.
Right.
And the more fishing reports I have from an area, that means the more people there are fishing it. So that sounds like a fantastic time to head out to Matlache Pass to me.
It does. It definitely should be.
What do I know?
No. Yeah, what could you possibly know?
All right, so I split up Pine Island Sound into the south end and the north end. Do we have any reports from the south end of Pine Island Sound?
What's the south end?
The south half. Do you need me to define it on a map?
No.
I can find a map and define it if you want me to.
There's snook and redfish down there. There's been some trout around Captiva Rocks, an assortment of sharks, a few tarpon up on the flats.
Now, these snook and reds, are they on the flats or under the trees?
Under the trees.
Okay.
There has been some trout and a few redfish out on the flats, but all the snook have been definitely under the bushes.
Okay.
because I know down there every now and then you find trout under some of those bushes because there's 5 foot deep buckets underneath them.
Right. This is one of those places where trout tend to act a little bit more like we expect snook to act.
Yeah.
And they do the whole ambush predator thing, and it's kind of neat.
Yeah. Catches you off guard.
It does.
There should be a snook. It's not fighting like a snook. What is it? Oh, it's a trout. Really?
Now, I only got as far as trout under Captiva rocks. I know you said something after that, but I didn't type it.
A few Spanish mackerel and some sharks. And it's almost a mirror image of that as you go north, too, except for I've been hearing of more tarpon from the shacks up, which basically would be straight inside from Captiva. So I'll just split it right there as far as south and north.
I think that's a great plan.
Sounds like a good idea. Sounds good in theory anyway. But yeah, it's been kind of the same thing. It's just a few more tarpon, especially as you get over in that south side of Cayo Costa. Closer to the intercoastal, or right in the intercoastal, actually.
Apparently I don't know how to do this. I'm not operating things correctly. Please hold, because I'm having technical issues that I don't know why.
But the water is super clear down there. People are seeing spotted eagle rays. They're seeing some different sized sharks. You know, it's been pretty cool down there. One guy even saw a school of cow nose rays, and he swears it was 500 cow nose rays.
Nice.
You know, he said it was amazing with how immense it was. And he said they were heading south. And he turned to go towards the shacks as it looked like they were starting to head towards Captiva Pass. Which, that's where I've seen the most cow nose rays ever, has been out on the beach.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, would you say that this is a good place to fish, a great place to fish, an okay place to fish?
I'd say it's good to great. I'd give it a 7 or an 8. Especially if you're looking for tarpon, because it's got a lot less pressure down in that area than it does as you work your way north. That's what I like about it.
Didn't we just talk about that? Fish where the other guys aren't?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
Prefer to, anyway.
Jug Creek Shoals and Boquelia.
Lots of bait. And then there has been a few snook along the shoreline, a couple of redfish, and then you get out to that deeper grass in that 6 to 8 foot range. Spanish mackerel, lots of puffer fish, and a few trout. Puffer fish have been a real blast down there, according to customers. Okay. Job security for plastic baits, that's for sure.
Or if you like sea squab.
Yeah. If you know how to clean them.
Yeah.
Most people don't know how to clean them properly.
Yeah. They're worried about it. I get it. But it ain't really that hard.
Uh-huh.
Just try not to eat the skin. Try not to eat the gonads. Which, I don't know about you, but I rarely eat fish gonads.
Yeah. But what happens if you just happen to cut one of those gonads when you're cleaning it?
With our southern puffers, probably nothing.
Just numbness to the tongue and lips.
Yeah. I mean, it's tetrodotoxin. Tetrodotoxin is a very powerful neurotoxin, but there's not a lot of tetrodotoxin in our local puffer fish. Now, if you go over to the East Coast, they got some problems over there, and it's partly dietary in what those puffer fish are eating. You can get serious doses of tetrodotoxin there. And nice. If you don't know what tetrodotoxin is, you have no idea what I'm talking about, Google fugu, F-U-G-U, which is a type of puffer fish that is eaten as sashimi in Japan, and specifically chosen for its high tetrodotoxin levels and for the tingling sensation that you get on your tongue and lips, which is supposed to be, somehow more satisfying. You're cheating death.
Wow.
So...
Yeah. No, but pass.
If you watch, I mean, the birds eat our puffers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they avoid puffers over on the East Coast.
Squirrels get bit in the face by rattlesnakes, too.
And squirrels eat toadstools. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. They know to avoid them over on the East Coast where they're dangerous. The ones over here on the West Coast, they eat them.
Okay.
So it's less dangerous. I'm not saying that it's fine. I'm not saying you should definitely eat a whole raw live puffer fish and it'll be fine. That's not what Josh said. What Josh said is that there's not as much tetrodotoxin in them as a lot of people seem to think there is. They're not as poisonous as a lot of people think they are.
Gotcha.
You still want to take some precautions.
Yeah. Like, don't eat them.
Well, that's the ultimate precaution, yes.
Pretty much is. It's the safest way to go about it.
That is true. In fact, if you want to avoid food poisoning in all forms, don't eat anything at all.
Yeah.
Burnt store and tupine.
Some snook, a few redfish, all under the bushes there.
I'm tired of typing bushes. Can I say shrubbery?
Sure. Mangroves?
I've tried that too. Mangroves is a hard word.
Why?
I put too many G's in it.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I always have to retype it.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to use shrubbery this time. It'll be fine.
On top of the bar, been a few cobia, assortment of sharks, a few pompano, and a little bit of ladyfish.
That's a lot on top of the bar.
Yeah. Well, it's starting to warm up pretty good out there, so the fish are moving out to a little bit more comfortable water.
I noticed how warm it was last night.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Temperature-wise?
Yeah. Warm and muggy out there.
It was a little steamy. Although the rain the day before was pretty perky.
Yeah, it was. It was some serious rain.
Yeah, it was.
I was driving in that storm on Tuesday after we lost the internet at the office.
Yep.
I was second-guessing and triple-guessing myself whether I should have left.
Right.
That was a heavy one.
It was.
East Side Keys, Pirate Harbor, Hobbs Point.
Some snook, a few redfish. But mostly what they're catching on top of the bar and on the outside edge of the bar has been bonnet heads, a few other sharks, a few cobia, and a couple of tarpon. Just not a lot, just incidental bycatch while you're fishing for all the other stuff. And then there has been lots of schools of rays coming through, a few manatees over there. Kind of a good mixture of wildlife all the way around over there.
You got any cobia on those rays and manatees?
One guy got one off of that, and then another guy got one off of a turtle over there that he saw out in about 8 feet of water. He made a Hail Mary cast and hooked a cobia before he even got to close the bail.
Nice.
Yeah. Which was pretty cool. That's always fun when those come out together. He said it was too small of a cobia, but it was super cool to actually catch one doing what is in theory supposed to be doing.
Right, and you never know if it's going to be a small cobia or not, especially when you're just blind casting like that. Sure, it could be that 24-incher, but it also could be that 60-pounder.
Well, and he doesn't remember reading it in one of our columns or having people tell him about it, but he was just grateful that he did it and actually hooked one.
Yeah. And the thing that's really important to note about that is that it doesn't matter really so much the size of the thing that you're casting to.
Mm-mm.
You know? A little sea turtle, a little juvenile 14-inch sea turtle might hold a great big full-size cobia. And vice versa. You know, you get little cobia that are underneath keeper size sometimes out there around those whale sharks.
Yeah.
So, it's always worth a shot.
It is.
Gator Creek, Poacher's Cut, and the Skating Rink.
Up in Gator Creek, lots of little snapper under the docks. Been a handful of snook. A few black drum as you move up there into the burnt store aisles and meadows area. But overall, been fairly quiet. Haven't heard of any jacks, nothing else up in there. It's a little strange, but not super surprising. The guy who owns the company that does my air conditioning maintenance, he was actually in today telling me about, because he's been fishing quite a bit through there because he lives on the creek itself. But he said the snapper finally came back. Oh, and he did say they've been getting some Mayan cichlids also.
Cool. Much more salt tolerant than most people realize.
Oh, yeah.
Not surprising to catch those out there underneath the mangroves.
She dipped one up behind the house in a little net. The other day, he was sitting right on the surface. Like, when is that? Boop. Right up. He was about 3 inches.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you have bait thieves out there, even when you're fishing down around Placida, mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's those Mayan cichlids out there tearing it up. They're just taking over.
They are good at that.
Ponce de Leon Park.
Ponce de Leon. I got nothing.
Nothing.
The only one report I had, the guy's just a little shaky on his conversations and consistency, so.
I understand. Alrighty. So if you're fishing in that area, then you could be one of our fishing reporters.
Yes.
PGI Canals and Punta Gorda area. That includes Elizabeth Park.
And all of the above.
You know, Elizabeth Park, that hot spot of fishing.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. Yeah, I don't know who Elizabeth is, but she got a park.
She got her own park. It's hers.
Perfect. Black Drum, starting to move around pretty good in there. Whole lot of small snook. Little juvenile tarpon are starting to move around and show themselves a little bit more. And a handful of really nice mangrove snapper. Not giants, but pretty good ones.
Keepers, anyway.
Yeah. 14, 15 inchers.
I'll take it.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Look at that. I went through the whole thing with no typos. That was awesome.
Yeah. Hey, good for you.
Gilchrist Pier.
Got nothing.
Nothing.
There should be cobia over there because of all the other cobia in that whole area, but I have gotten nothing. I know the Royal Poinciennas are blooming over there.
Okay. Do you want me to add that to the report?
Yeah, sure. That'll be real pleasant for people to go check out.
Okay.
Give them a little botany class in the process.
Yep.
Speaking of that, my Amorphophallus is ready to pop open right now. There's four little heads, and one was starting to open up a little bit last night.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
How long has it been sleeping for?
A year.
Yep.
That one blooms pretty much every year.
Stanky.
Less heads on it this year, though, than last year. Last year there was like six. This year it looks like there's only four.
That's odd. It's supposed to get bigger every year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It is what it is.
Would you have been peeing in that part of the yard or something?
Nope.
Alligator Creek Reef.
See a few cobia. Some small mangrove snapper. And if you troll over it, there has been some Spanish mackerel on it with a couple of assorted sharks. The cobia seem to have thinned out quite a bit out there. But there's been a few.
But it sounds like there's better places for cobia fishing right
there
now.
There is. Well, and even that guy I was talking to that was catching the snapper back there in Alligator Creek. He actually went and dove out there on the reef. He speared one sheep's head. Saw one cobia. Saw a few other sheep's head that he missed. But he got two anchors. Which is why he likes to go out there and dive every now and then this time of year.
Mm-hmm. Don't blame him a bit.
Nope.
The 20-foot holes.
Spanish mackerel. Some cobia. A few sharks, mostly smaller guys. I have not heard of any tarpon in there, though. But that's about normal. Most of those fish are way southwest.
And bait fish?
There's been a lot of glass minnows and fry out there, and then a few thread fins here and there. The white bait has been a little tricky. But some of the guys have been getting it, like, at first light.
Okay. So I'm going to copy that into the bait report while you think of what else you want to tell me about the bait report. Dang it.
Yeah.
Dang it, dang it, dang it.
That's about what I've been hearing. You know, most of the guys are getting white bait out there, literally leaving at dark 30, and the white bait is pretty much gone within a half hour after sunrise. And they're mixed. They're white bait and thread fins together. Not too many guys getting actual white bait just by itself unless you run down to Three Sisters and the Placida area. That seems to be a little bit better concentration of actual white bait.
Up on the flats?
Yeah. And then they've also been getting some nice thread fins down there in Matlache Pass. Been a few on this end, just not a lot.
Can you sabiki them?
Yeah. Yep. Definitely Sabikium. I like those better anyway than netting them. They stay alive a lot better in the live well, and they're friskier on the hook.
I concur. Anything else for baitfish reports?
No. There's been no pinfish around that I've heard of, except for going offshore and trying to find them. Or a lot of little tiny, tiny guys.
Okay. Any bait out there in the Gulf?
Yeah, they're seeing schools of baitfish out there. One guy did sabiki up some actual Spanish sardines. But he said most of the bait that he ran into was all very small. And the only thing blitzing on really is Spanish mackerel.
So we have a lot of bait in the area, but most of it's small.
Yeah. It's all little fry, basically, of something.
And it's not that fish don't eat small fry, but good luck netting it. Good luck putting it on a hook.
Right. Yeah. A little tiny, tiny crappie hook. A little hair hook.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fun.
No.
That should hold up just fine on those big fish.
That way you reel back in a little spear point.
Boink. The freshwater canals, creeks, ponds, and lakes.
Lots of bass. Lots and lots of bass. Almost everyone's catching them on shiners, though. Few people are doing okay on creature baits, but mostly shiners have been the main thing. And then there's also been quite a few tilapia around, but they haven't been quite as cooperative. Maybe this rain this past week will make it a little bit better, but nothing special.
And the Mayans?
Haven't heard anything about them. They should be around, but I haven't been hearing anything about them.
Any other panfish?
No. What bluegill?
I'm just asking, dude. How about catfish?
What sunfish?
Anybody catch a catfish?
Nope. Not a lot of people fish for those, and I don't understand why. I think it's because they just get harassed by the turtles all the time, so they just don't feel like messing with it.
Well, that's a part of it, but, you know, part of it is people are just silly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't blame them. I'd get frustrated catching a bunch of turtles, because I really honestly feel bad, because half the time they end up breaking the damn hook off. You know?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Well, I always go with something a little bit heavier than I think I need when I'm catfishing, because I remember that, you know, catching 10 to 15 pound softshell turtles on the regular while you're trying to catch catfish, but also occasionally catching that big channel cat.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's not all butter cats and pound and a half channel catfish out there. There are some surprisingly big fish.
Yeah.
If you're in the right area.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, a little heavier than you think you need is always a good thing.
Yes, it is.
All right, the last bit here, the tarpon reports.
Okay.
Obviously, Boca Grand Pass.
Mm-hmm. Boca Grand Pass is the main spot to be around that whole vicinity.
Now, how far away from the pass are we talking about here? I mean, do we have to be in the pass itself?
The majority of the fish are in the pass. Whether it's 2 miles offshore or just a mile inside, but pretty much the pass. Could you make me a copy of that? Regulations?
No.
Jeez, man. Person.
Listen, I remembered to copy-paste it into a
document. At least you put it on the website, yes.
I remembered to copy-paste it into a document, okay? So there's that. I got that far.
Okay, so you have to figure out how to put it on here. Because that would be awesome.
Yes. Yes. I will
get right on that.
Do that
sometime, maybe by the end of July.
So, so we have fish up to a mile inside and 2 miles out of the pass. Where else do we have some tarpon, Robert?
The intercoastal, mostly between Boca and Captiva. That'd be the best areas.
Okay, to Captiva Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other areas you want to mention here?
I think there's a 25% chance of getting some fish up around the 41 Bridge or in the Myakka River. but it's been super inconsistent. But I've had several people the last couple days that have seen free jumpers in that area. And Peg Leg Hook won 2 days in a row over there.
Okay.
So there's a few around, just not, I wouldn't target them. I'd rather run down to the pass, or I don't say I'd rather fish the intercoastal before the pass, but it depends on the right person that I'm with.
Well, and you're picky about who you fish with, too.
I am.
I don't blame you. Not even a bit.
Especially out there.
How about little tarpon? Realistic?
No. PGI. I mean, they're seeing a bunch, but the fish, the little juvies haven't moved at LJB, and they haven't moved over onto the west wall yet. We need more rain for that. Seems like when we start getting some rain pushing, they actually push out of those creeks and canals and move out that way. But nothing yet. I think a little premature on that one.
Okie dokie. And your hot baits right now?
Crabs, squirrel fish, shrimp, and thread fins. And probably, honestly, in that order.
Okay.
Because it seems like there's been a handful of guys getting them on shrimp and a handful of guys getting them on thread fins. But crabs and squirrel fish are definitely the hot bait right now.
Okay. Is there any final words of wisdom that you have? Anything that we need to talk about that we didn't discuss? Anything that you want to mention before we break this thing off for the week?
Nope. I think we accomplished enough information out there for everybody. Are you sure?
There's nothing else that you wanted to bring up? You've got nothing
else?
Not
that's fishable, no.
Okay. Well, I guess that's going to wrap up our fishing report for this week. We will be back sometime next week to do another one, hoping to do it on Thursday, but can't make any guarantees of that. But we'll do one, won't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do one at some point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's only one thing left to do, and that's say goodnight, Robert.
Good night, Robert.